Hello, Solomon's Porch. My name is Bob Sorge, and I'm just delighted to be with you at your network conference this year. I'm sending out a big greeting right now to Pastor Song and Lisa and all the family in Hong Kong. Welcome, and thank you for letting me be a part of your gathering again this year. I was with you last year for this event, and I spoke on the cross. I talked about the cross being a womb, and I'm going to talk about the cross again this year, this time, the cross as warfare. I've written a book on the cross, and just showing you the cover. I'd love it if you'd be inspired enough to get yourself a copy. You can get these from Amazon or from our site. And if you would prefer, the digital books are available on Kindle and iTunes and Nook and so on. So you're welcome to check that out if you're a lover of the cross like me and you just might want to go a little bit deeper into that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this gathering together. Thank you that we can do this, connecting across the nations together through technology. And we ask for your grace to be richly with us now in the speaking and the hearing. May Jesus be glorified. May we be strengthened and helped and encouraged in our walk with you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to the cross, there's one verse that's very important for me. It's 1 Peter 2, verse 21, which goes like this. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And this verse gives us the two sides of the cross. There's one side of the cross where the verse goes, Christ suffered for us. That's the side of the cross he did so we never have to. Huge. And then it goes on to say, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. That's the side of the cross he did to show us how. And the cross is twofold. It's what he did for us so we never have to do it. And it's also what he did to show us how we walk in our journey as we also take up our cross. The cross is the most perfect template in all of Scripture for the Christian life. If you want to learn about spiritual warfare, the best place to go to is the cross. When you're looking at Jesus on the cross with his arms spread wide, he's saying to us, this is how I fight my battles. And this is how we also fight our battles. Jesus is our Jedi Knight. Now I'm borrowing some Star Wars lingo now. He's our Jedi Knight, and I'm his Padawan learner. He's taken me as his apprentice, and he's teaching me how to do spiritual warfare. And to do that, he brings us to the cross. Genesis 3:15. God is speaking to Satan, and he says this, he, that is Christ, he shall bruise your head, Satan, and you shall bruise his heel. It's the first statement from heaven on the cross, and God is saying to Satan, Satan, you're going to bruise Jesus' heel, and he is going to bruise your head. And so, right from the beginning, the cross is portrayed for us as a cosmic battle between Jesus and Satan. cross, both Jesus and Satan went at it, and they were both of them aiming for the head. Satan hit the heel. Jesus made his mark. So if you want to learn about spiritual warfare, don't go to the adversary. He's not that good. Go to the master. He is an exceptional warrior, and he will train you how to lay a blow to the head of your adversary. And to do that, he will take you to the cross. Now, when we consider Genesis 3:15 as it's pointing to the cross, it's kind of evident, very easily evident, how Satan bruised Jesus' heel, because he's got nails going right through his heels. And so the cross, very clear how Satan bruised Jesus' heel. But how did Jesus bruise Satan's head? Not so evident or obvious. So I'm going to share my answer with you. I think that it was when he resurrected from the dead. When Jesus ascended from Hades or from hell, if hell could have held on to Jesus, then Satan would have been triumphant. But if Jesus can overcome death, hell, and the grave, then Satan would lose everything. And when Jesus began to ascend from hell, he was demonstrating a strength and an authority over death and over hell. And I think Satan was desperate. I think he was frantic. And I believe that Satan personally and physically placed himself between Jesus and the gates of hell. I think he tried to stop Jesus from resurrecting from Hades, from hell. And that's when the blow came. The lamb with seven horns laid a blow to the dragon with ten horns. It was horn to horn, head to head combat. And when Jesus resurrected, I believe with the seven horns of the Holy Spirit, he laid a blow to the head of the adversary that took him out of the way. And now Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus bruised his head, divested him of his armor, took the keys of Hades and of death, plundered hell, and rose on the third day, leading captivity captive. And in this session, I'm just bragging on our Jedi Knight, Jesus Christ. He is fantastic. He's a mighty man of valor. He's the commander of heaven's hosts, and he is a magnificent warrior. And he's going to show us how to fight our battles as well. Our next scripture is John 12:31. Jesus said, "Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." Jesus is speaking of the cross, and he is saying that at the cross, the ruler of this world will be cast out. And he's speaking about Satan, calling him the ruler of this world. And the question is, at the cross, where was Satan cast out from? To answer that question, I see five times in Scripture where Satan is cast out. The first one is heaven's angels. The second casting out is in the text that we just read, John 12:51, which Jesus said, "Now the ruler of this world will be cast out at Calvary." The Satan was cast out. The third casting out is in Revelation 12, where Michael and his angels go to war, and Satan is cast out of his place of advantage in heavenly realms. Right now, Satan has a place of advantage in the atmosphere, the heavenly realms above the earth, and in Revelation 12, a future event, Michael and his angels are going to cast Satan out of that heavenly realm, and Satan will be cast down to earth. The fourth casting out is in Revelation 20, when Satan is cast into the bottomless pit. And then the final casting out of Satan in Scripture, also Revelation 20, when he is cast out into the lake of fire. So the one that we're looking at today is the second casting out of Satan, John chapter 12, verse 51, where the ruler of the world was cast out at Calvary. Five times in Scripture, Satan is cast out. I see this corresponding to Isaiah 14, where five times Lucifer says in his heart, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will," five times, trying to lift himself up. And in response, there are five times that Satan is cast down, and each time it's lower, 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 lower. The second casting out happened at Calvary. And the question that we're engaging right now is, from where was Satan cast out at the crucifixion? And I see the answer right inside the verse, John 12:51. At the cross, Satan was cast out from his office, his title, his position as the ruler of this world. At the cross, Jesus Christ took that title away from him. And today, my friends, the ruler of this world is a man with scars in his hands and in his feet. The Lord Jesus Christ today is the ruler of this world, and he won that office at the cross. The Scripture still calls Satan the god of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and that's because people of this age make him their god. And Ephesians 2:2 calls him still the prince of the power of the air. That's because Satan still has a place of advantage in the atmosphere, in the air. But Revelation 12, Michael and his angels are going to cast him out at the third casting, a future event. They're going to cast him out, and he'll lose that place of advantage. But he is no longer the ruler of this world. Jesus Christ is. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." This is good news for Shanghai. This is good news for Beijing and for Hong Kong and for New York. For every city that's watching this, Jesus Christ is the ruler of this world. The cross would have surely been rated R for violence. Think about it. There's violence that surrounds everything about the cross. Judas Iscariot was violent. The troops that arrested Jesus were violent. The chief priests and scribes were violent in handing Jesus over. The Roman soldiers were violent in scourging Jesus and in pounding the nails in his hands. Pilate was violent. violent. Satan was violent at the cross. But the most violent person at the cross was actually Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:14 is my verse for this one. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When they pounded nails in Jesus' hands, the carpenter took those nails and nailed to that cross the regulations and ordinances that were against us and that were contrary to us. The carpenter knew what to do with his nails. And it was a remarkable reversal, because they thought they were nailing him, and he's like, actually, I'm nailing it. And there was a remarkable reversal on the cross. When they scourged him, he scourged our sicknesses and diseases. When they slapped him, he slapped our condemnation. When they hit him, he hit sin and its curse in the gut. When they killed him, he killed death. When they pierced him, he pierced a way for us into the very bosom of the Heavenly Father. When they buried him, he buried our past and all of our failures. When Satan crushed his heel, he crushed Satan's head. And when the ruler of this world used his authority to cast Jesus out of this world, Jesus used the cross to cast Satan out of his office as the ruler of this world. And today, Jesus Christ is the ruler of this world. When you look at the cross, you see blood everywhere. There's blood on his head, blood on his forehead, blood on his cheeks, blood on his face, blood on his neck. There's blood on his shoulders, blood on his chest, blood on his back, blood on his arms, blood on his hands, blood on his legs, blood on his feet, blood on the cross, blood on the ground. The whole thing is a spectacle of blood. But listen, as bloodied as Jesus Christ was by the cross, Satan was more bloodied by the cross than Jesus Christ. Jesus was wounded by the cross. Satan was destroyed by the cross. I am speaking today of my hero, my master, my champion, my Jedi Knight, Jesus Christ, who was greater than all the enemies put together, death, sin, the grave, and Satan. He is really good at spiritual warfare. And if you want to learn how to do warfare, let the master teach you. He'll take you to his training ground, Mount Calvary. Mount Calvary is where the greatest battle of human history took place, where he showed us how. He says, this is how I fight my battles. And he says, this is how you also will fight your battles. And the cross is our template for spiritual warfare. The disciples thought that Jesus had come to conquer Rome, but Jesus is like, no, I'm after a much bigger target. Had he come down from the cross, he could have taken Rome. But he's like, no, I'm after the big guns. He was after death, hell, the grave, and Satan. And there are some enemies you have to engage by going on their turf. That's why Jesus had to die. He had to go on the very turf of hell and death and the grave and Satan in order to conquer them. He died a spotless lamb, descended to hell, conquered hell, death, the grave, and the devil, plundered hell, resurrected, distributed gifts to men. I am giving praise today to the most powerful warrior of the entire universe, Jesus Christ. During the 40-day temptation in the wilderness, Satan offered to give Jesus the kingdoms of this world. He says, if you'll just worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. Jesus was like, no, you're not going to give them to me. I'm going to take them. And at the cross, Jesus Christ stole back from the devil what he had stolen from Adam. I used to think that there were two thieves being crucified on Mount Calvary that day. But I've kind of changed my mind on that, and now I'm seeing three thieves that were crucified on Calvary that day. And you're like, well, what did Jesus steal when he was on the cross? Well, for starters, he stole the show. All eyes were on that middle cross. He stole the rulership of this world from Satan. He stole us from death's grip. He stole the captives who were held in Hades. He stole the keys of death and Hades from Satan. And last but not least, he stole my heart. The cross was the most dramatic battle with cosmic proportions. And I used to think that Jesus was rather passive on the cross, just absorbing all the blows coming to him. But I'm seeing it differently now. He was fighting back, and our great warrior was engaged in the fight of his life on the cross. So now let's ask the question, what was the nature of the warfare on the cross? Because when you look at the cross, you have to say to yourself that there's a fight going on here. There's some kind of a battle, some kind of a war. What is the nature of the warfare that is happening on the cross? How was Jesus fighting? What was Jesus fighting when he was on the cross? I think this question is very important for us, and I believe that he reveals it to us in Mark 14:38. This is our primary text for this session, Mark 14:38. Jesus said to the disciples, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The warfare of the cross regarded temptation. Hebrews 12:4 confirms this for us, because it says that on the cross, Jesus was striving against sin. He told his disciples, he said, pray, because if you'll pray, you'll gain the strength and the grace you need to resist temptation. But if you sleep right now, you are likely to fall into temptation. So he said to them, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. prayer was Jesus' supply line. By praying in Gethsemane, Jesus was gathering his reserves so that he could do the cross without entering into temptation. He was about to get hit with the strongest temptation of his life, and he had to win it in prayer before he could win it on the cross. And in the same way, prayer is our supply line. If you go to military school, one of the first things they will teach you in Warfare 101, protect your supply lines. Absolutely essential. Hitler lost World War II largely because he violated this principle, largely because his tanks ran out of fuel and his soldiers ran out of food. It was a grave tactical error for Hitler. Here's what he did. He pushed his troops to military fronts that his supply lines could not support. And when his soldiers had no food, it wasn't really the Russian winter that killed them. It was a Russian winter without food that killed them. Protect your supply lines. Get fueled up in prayer so that you can win the war over temptation. So here's my thesis on the cross that I'm suggesting for you today. On the cross, Satan was trying to get Jesus to sin. This was actually Satan's agenda all along. He was always after Jesus, trying to get him to sin, especially during those 40 days in the wilderness where Jesus was tempted of the devil. And then the scripture says that when the devil had ended every temptation in those 40 days, he departed from him until an opportune time. The most opportune time came at the cross, because suffering weakens you. Suffering makes you vulnerable. And in the sufferings of the cross, in a weakened condition, Jesus Christ was more vulnerable to temptation than ever before. And Satan saved his strongest attacks for Jesus' moment of greatest weakness. And the stakes were huge. If Jesus would enter into temptation on the cross, then he would not die a spotless lamb. He would die for his own sin, not ours. Our salvation would be forfeited. Death and hell would be able to hold Jesus, and he would not resurrect from the dead. But if Jesus can do the cross without entering into temptation, then he will die without sin. He will die a spotless lamb. He will descend to hell in holiness. And ladies and gentlemen, hell does not know how to process holiness. When holiness descended to hell, it set off a rumble in hell. It wasn't simply that holiness descended, but Psalm 16 verse 9 says that when Jesus descended to hell, he had a glad heart. Happy holiness descended to hell. And when happy holiness came to hell, it set off a rumble that has rumbled through human history. Jesus Christ resurrected from the Jesus had a vision for doing his trial in holiness. Because here's the principle I want you to hear. Holiness rises again. May God give you the same vision for your fiery trial. May you endure your trial, not fall into temptation, because holiness rises again. So now, let's look at what I consider to be possibly the most three significant temptations that came Jesus' way. Now, maybe there were temptations on the cross that I have no idea about. That's very likely. But three that I would be aware of, at least. Number one, Jesus was tempted to self-medicate to gratify his flesh. Number two, Jesus was tempted for his love to fail. And thirdly, on the cross, he was tempted to lose faith, to become discouraged. I'd like to look at each of those temptations because they're so relevant to our lives today. And for me, they indicate a gradation of significance. Perhaps the easiest temptation, number one, the temptation to self-medicate. Matthew 27:34, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink, but when he had tasted it, he would not drink. And the reason Jesus would not drink of this beverage is because when he tasted it, he detected that it was an alcoholic beverage. And alcohol will numb you from pain. And it was like a mercy measure of all the grotesque things, horrible things that the soldiers did. They had one tiny gesture of mercy. They would give the crucified victim a swig of an alcoholic beverage. And when just to take something of the edge off. And when Jesus detected that they were offering him an alcoholic beverage, he refused to drink. He says, the Father, and I'm just imagining him saying in his heart, the Father has given me this cup to drink, and I'm going to drink it in full strength. When you're overwhelmed with sorrows, it is so tempting to self-medicate. There's many ways that we are tempted to self-medicate. From experience, now let experience just talk for a moment, and I'll say some of the ways that we're tempted to self-medicate. Food, drink, drugs, sexual compromise, binge spending, binge media. I'm sure there's other ways as well. But Jesus refused to self-medicate his sorrows. He's got a vision for doing the cross in holiness. And Jesus did not succumb to that temptation because he was prayed up from Gethsemane. Now the second temptation, and it's going to go to another level. I believe that Jesus was tempted on the cross to become bitter. The temptation was for his love to fail. If love would fail on the cross, and if Jesus would become angry, resentful, bitter, vindictive, that would be sin. And if Jesus sins on the cross, all of our salvation is lost, and Satan is triumphant. So Satan wanted Jesus to become angry and bitter on the cross. I don't know what kind of temptations Satan whispered in Jesus' ear. I do know that Satan loquacious and he's got all kinds of accusations and things to say to us. And I promise you, during the crucifixion, that Satan was giving Jesus an earful of accusations and saying thin lies, saying things like this. This is because of the Jews, how envious they are of you. Look at them. The Romans, they are venting their racial hatred against you, Jesus. They are taking all of their animosity against the Jewish nation, and they're taking it out on you. They're not just crucifying you. They are going beyond to come against you with everything in their arsenal. And Satan is trying to get Jesus to become better at the excessive nasty nature of how people are coming against him. And Jesus responds, it's recorded in Scripture, he goes, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus is basically saying, there's nothing you can do to me to make me hate you. There's nothing you can do to me to make me threaten you or strike back at you. There's nothing you can do to me to make me stop loving you. And he loved his antagonists while they were crucifying him, while they pierced his flesh with nails, he was loving them. And on the cross, love never failed. I think Satan took it even further. I think he's accusing the Father to Jesus. Now, I don't have a verse for this, so this is my own personal conjecture. But I can just imagine Satan saying things like this to Jesus during the crucifixion. Look what your Father is doing to you. This is the greatest injustice of human history. Jesus, this is so wrong. You have done nothing to deserve this. Your Father has turned on you. He has abandoned you. He has fed you to the wolves. Your Father is a tyrant. This is cosmic child abuse. You call this love? You have been loyal to your Father all this time, and look how he's rewarding your loyalty. And Satan was accusing the Father to Jesus because he wanted Jesus to become bitter against his Father for the extremity of the cross. How did Jesus respond to this kind of accusation? Well, to see the response, you actually don't go to the Gospels, you go to David. David is the one that gives us insight into this dynamic on the cross. In Psalm 22, David is writing about the cross, and he's entering into the sufferings of the cross in an identificational kind of way, prophetically speaking forth the sufferings of the cross. In verse 1, he goes, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus quotes that one. And then in verse 3, David goes, but you are holy. And David is showing us in Psalm 22, verse 3, that on the cross, Jesus worshipped his Father. And in the midst of all the accusations he was hearing from Satan, Jesus lifted his eyes to his Father and said, you are holy. Holy is one word in one word. A one-word synopsis of all of God's perfections. His kindness, his goodness, his tenderness, his humility, his truth. Every beautiful quality of God summarized in one word. When you want to just get down to it, you just say holy, because that summarizes the perfections of God in every attribute. And on the cross, Jesus is loving and worshiping his Father, and he says, you are holy. He is dignifying his Father's leadership in his life. He's going, Abba, you are perfect in leadership. You are wise. You are kind. You're compassionate. You're caring. You're loving. You're good. And this cross is brilliant. It's actually necessary. It needs to happen. And he is saying, you are holy, and the cross is perfect. You've turned me over to the bulls, and they are goring me to death, and it's brilliant. Your leadership in my life is flawless and perfect. You are holy. And Jesus worshipped his Father on the cross. Rather than becoming bitter, he loved his Father in the place of ultimate suffering. Love did not fail on the cross. But then there's a third strategy of darkness on the cross. And for me, it seems to be the most intense. Now, I can't speak for Jesus. What would have been the greatest temptation for him on the cross? That would be for him to say, but I'm guessing it could have been this third one. It was the temptation to become discouraged. It was an attack on Jesus' faith. If Satan could cause Jesus to lose heart on the cross, to become discouraged, to lose confidence and faith in his Father's goodness and what the Father was doing in the cross, if Jesus would lose heart, that would be sin, because the scripture says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. So if Jesus loses faith in any fashion on the cross, he sins on the cross, and everything is lost. Satan wanted Jesus to lose faith on the cross. And I can only imagine what the accusations and lies were. This is my imagining what Satan may have said to Jesus on the cross. I can imagine him saying things like, you will never recover from this. It's over. This is worse than you ever expected. You weren't ready for it to be this intense. This has backfired on you. You are going to be a prisoner of death forever. You are going to spend your eternity in hell. You're mine now. But Jesus was ready for this temptation. It looked like he was naked, but actually, he had gotten dressed for this. He had put on the armor of the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. He went to the Garden of Eden to get dressed in the armor of the Lord, so that he could withstand the fiery darts of the evil one on the cross. I'm persuaded that Jesus quoted scripture to the Father when he was on the cross. I believe even if it was silently in his heart, he would have quoted verses like Hosea 6:2, after 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Abba, on the third day you're going to raise me up. I think that he must have quoted Psalm 16, verse 10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Because the lie was, you are going to rot in hell. And Jesus holds on to the promise of Scripture, you will not allow me to see corruption. Jesus remained confident in his Father's purposes throughout the ordeal of the cross. And in his heart, he's like, Abba, you are going to finish this thing. You're going to win them. You're going to save them. You're going to redeem them. You're going to heal them. You're going to deliver them. You're going to purchase them. You're going to call them. You're going to justify them. You're going to glorify them. Abba, I know that you are going to finish what you have started in this thing. And he never lost faith in the Father's purpose on the cross. And at the end of his duration on the cross, he cried out, it is finished, because the Father has finished what he intended to do on this cross. Jesus Christ never lost faith on the cross, and he died in holiness. This is how we fight our battles. Watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. Watch and pray so that you don't self-medicate. Watch and pray so that you hold to love. Love him through it all. Worship him through it all. And cling to faith. Hold to his promise. Enter into the good fight of faith. It's a fight. Faith is a fight, but it is a good fight. Lay hold of the promises of God. Hold to promise and perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord, and your fiery trial and holiness will rise again. Get a vision for doing your fiery trial in holiness. Someone might ask, well, Bob, have you sinned in your trial? Yes. But I'm not disqualified, because Jesus has taken me on as his Padawan learner, and I am his apprentice. I'm learning how to perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord, and I'm asking him to help me to overcome, to be perfected in love, to be perfected in faith, so that I might endure in holiness, lay my life down in holiness, and lay a blow to the head of my adversary. Just as Satan resisted Jesus' ascension, Satan is also resisting your ascension. He's resisting my ascension. But by the grace of God, we are going to, in holiness, persevere in love, persevere in faith, and rise up from this pit in resurrection life and experience a reversal just like the cross. May there be a reversal in your trial. What the enemy intended for evil, may it be turned around, and may, because of your violence in your fiery trial, may you overcome in faith, may you overcome in love, may there be a great reversal, and may Jesus Christ enable you to lay a blow to the head of your adversary. This is how we fight our battles. The worship team is going to lead us in a song now. And as they lead us in this song, I invite you to open your arms to the Lord and just say, Lord, this is how I fight my battles as well. Jesus, teach me how to do warfare. I'm coming to your cross. Show me how to overcome in this fiery trial. By the grace of God, I'm going to love. By the grace of God, I'm not going to self-medicate. By the grace of God, I'm going to stay in faith. This is how I fight my battles. God bless you.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
If you haven't already, let's rise to our feet, and I want you to lift your hands to the Lord.
当你还没有站起来的话，请你们站起来，把我们的手举高，赞美神。
And maybe you're going through a trial right now.
也许你现在是经过着试探。
You are suffering in some way.
然后你在某种上面受着苦。
And the message just really spoke to you tonight.
然后今天的信息真的对你说了。
And I know it spoke to me so powerfully.
我知道这个信息对我说了很多的意义。
And as your eyes are closed and you're lifting your hands to the heavens,
当你的眼睛闭着，把你手举高着，朝着天。
And as you think about what you're going through these days,
然后你想着你最近所发生的事情。
The suffering,
受苦。
Could be injustice,
可能是不义的事情。
Some kind of trauma or something that happened to you that just was not very good,
或者是任何对你不好的事情发生在你的身上。
And so even in the midst of this, as you're thinking about whatever's going on,
在不管是发生的什么事情里头，你在想着。
From deep within your gut,
从你深深肚子里头出来的。
I want you to say, Lord, you are holy.
我要我们一起说，主啊，你是神圣的。
You're a good, good father.
你是一个好好的神。
I trust your leadership.
我相信你的带领。
Lord, you're a good God.
你是一个好的父亲。
And even in the midst of my trial, you are faithful.
那在我的试探当中，你是信实的。
And as Pastor Nate continues to lead us in this song, this is how we fight our battle.
那当 P. Nate 继续带领我们赞美神，这是我们怎么去战胜的。
This is how we overcome the adversary.
这是我们如何战胜魔鬼的。
This is how we crucify our flesh.
这是我们如何把我们的身体钉在十字架上。
We say you are holy.
我们说你是圣洁的。
So let's do that right now as we sing. Let's just cry out in the midst of our trial, Lord, you are holy.
那当我们在试探当中，我们站起来一起唱，你是圣洁的，你是神圣的。
Lord, I trust your leadership.
天父，我相信你的带领。
Let's pray and let's sing.
我们来祷告，我们来赞美神。
And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song for praise for what you've done. And I believe you've overcome.But I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Let's just continue to lift those words, Lord, you are holy.
我们继续的祷告，把
说 you're a holy God.
你是神圣的，你是圣洁的神。
Lord, you're a good father.
你是一个好的父神。
No matter what I'm going through,
不管我现在经历的什么事情。
Lord, thank you for the example of Jesus on the cross.
谢谢你给我们主耶稣在十字架上的榜样。
Lord, he didn't become bitter.
他没有苦读。
We find ourselves bitter so much.
我们好容易有苦读的心。
He didn't lose heart.
他没有失去信心。
We find ourselves wanting to quit all the time.
我们经常看到我们在试探中想要放弃。
He didn't give up.
他没有放弃。
Even though we feel like it so many times.
但是我们经常会这么感觉。
Lord, you are holy.
你是圣洁的。
Just begin to say that over and over again to the Lord.
我们不断地继续跟神说你是圣洁的。
Say, Father, I trust you.
天父，我相信你，我信任你。
No matter what I'm going through, I trust you.
不管我现在经历的是什么事情，我相信你。
This suffering, this temptation is bigger, God, than what I can ever imagine.
这个试探比我想象中的还要大。
What you want to do through this is bigger than what I could ever imagine.
可是你在这个试探当中所要做的事情比我想象中的更大。
So Lord, I'm going to endure this trial.
所以我必须坚持这个试探。
I'm going to endure this suffering.
我坚持这个痛苦的事情。
I will endure this temptation, God.
我坚持这个试探。
Because you're doing something in us, Lord.
因为你透过这试探在我们的心里头在做事工。
You're a good Father.
你是一个好的父神。
Your leadership is perfect.
你领导我们是完美的。
Thank you, Jesus.
谢谢你。
And even if you can right now, I mean, this may just sound crazy to many of us here. But I want to encourage you right now to even thank God for what you're going through.
这也许是一个非常难的一件事情。 但是假如可以的话，我们来感谢神，把这个试探或者这个经历放在你的生命当中。I
know it sounds crazy, but God's doing something so much bigger than you can imagine.
我知道听起来很疯狂，但是我们相信神透过这个在你的生命当中做你想象不到的事情。Sometimes
God offends the mind to reveal the heart.
有时候神 让我们脑袋中的想法非常的痛苦，但是打开了我们的心。
And so if you're able to, just thank him for what you're going through, even the difficulty.
所以假若可以的话，我们把困难的事情也感谢他。
And if you're not ready to do that, that's okay too. Remember, we're all apprentices. We're growing.
那假若还不行的话，也没关系。我们就像 Bob Sorge 说的，我们都是在学徒，我们都是学徒，我们都在增长。
But I feel like God's just got us in a divine moment right now.
但是我觉得神现在透过他的属灵有一个非常好的一个时间在这。
Let's continue to pray, Lord.
我们继续祷告。
Yeah, we trust you, God.
我们相信你， 我们信任你， 我们相信你是一个好的神， 你是一个好的父亲， 你是完美的， 你所做的每一件事情是完美的。 圣灵，请你来。
This is how I find my battles.
And this is how we're going to be victorious in this place.
我们是这样子如何战胜的。
When Jesus was on the cross, he uttered these words.
当主耶稣在十字架上的时候，他说了这些。
Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.
耶和华，我投靠你。
Can we pray that in our hearts right now? Just say all that I'm going through, Lord.
我们所发生的每一件事情，我们现在可不可以跟神说
？Father, Abba, Daddy.
天父，父亲。
Lord, in your hands, I commit everything.
在你的手里，我投靠全部的事情。
In your hands, I commit my suffering, my temptation, my weakness.
在你的手里，我投靠我的软弱，我的试探，我的痛苦。
I commit my anger and my bitterness.
我把我苦毒，我把我的生气。
Into your hands, I commit my spirit.
在你的手里，我投靠我的灵。
Let's just take a moment to pray that just personally to the Lord.
那我们花一分钟的时间，我们个人每个人就来祷告。
Father, we thank you for Pastor Bob's message.
天父，我们感谢你 Pastor Bob 的信息。
And it's even more meaningful knowing his situation, Lord.
那我们知道他的情况，带给这个信息更多意义。
Lord, he's in pain every single day.
他每天都受着苦。
Lord, he can't do what he is called to do and speak as much as wants to.
他没有办法，想要说他所想要的说的话。
And you're teaching him to have victory in the midst of his trials.
然后你也在透过他的痛苦，他的生命当中的痛苦，在教导他。
Lord, would you teach us as well?
天父，求你也教导我们。
When we're going through our weakness and difficulties and temptations,
透过我们软弱的时候。痛苦的时候或者试探的时候
We're going through our trials and sufferings
当我们在受苦的时候
Help us to fight the good fight of faith
求你让我们继续 战斗，为我们的信心而战胜。
Instead of getting bitter and wanting to quit,
不要因为要不要让我们失去信心，或者是充满了生气埋怨。
Instead of getting angry and vengeful,
或者是生气，或者是想要做其他的事情。
Help us to praise you in the midst of our trial.
求你让我们在我们受苦试探当中能够赞美你。
And say you are holy.
然后说你是圣洁的。
You are a good father.
你是一个好的父神。
Lord, we trust your leadership.
我们相信你的带领。
And continue to lead us, Lord.
求你继续的带领着我们。
Father, into your hands.
在你的手里。
We commit ourselves and our spirit.
我们投靠我们的灵。
Thank you, Lord.
谢谢你。
Lord, seal this word in our heart.
求你把这个话应许在我们的心中。
Now, Holy Spirit, do the deep work and let it sink deep within our spirit.
然后深深的、深刻的深入在我们的心里。
Thank you, Jesus.
谢谢你，天父。
And in Jesus' name we pray.
奉主耶稣圣名求。
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, I want to go back and listen to that message again. It was so deep.
我好想再回去听一次那个信息。
I hope that you've enjoyed our conference so far.
我希望你们目前为止也很喜欢我们这次的大会。
Tomorrow's the last session where we all get to be together on the Sabbath day.
那明天是最后一次，明天在星期天我们可以全部一起。
We have a speaker, I think he's pretty good.
我们有一个讲员，我觉得他还可以。
And so we'll be back at 10 o'clock in the morning, all together, all of us around the world.
所以我们明天早上十点钟，全世界、全球，我们一起来。
So thank you to the worship teams and Kenny and then Pastor Ken behind the booth.
谢谢赞美团队，然后 P. Kenny 在后面。
And so thank you guys so much for joining us. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a good night.
谢谢大家来跟着我们一起赞美神。晚安，再见。